Come on in.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias.
Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Well,
ahoy, Lainey.
Ahoy. We've taken a little field trip for today's podcast, and one that I'm sure we'll put on Instagram later so that our listeners aren't dripping with envy. We're actually recording this episode on a cruise ship right in the heart of the Caribbean, and we are overlooking beautiful blue waters that are just so pristine and wonderful. But
yeah, peaceful. It's wonderful.
We're faithful to our listeners, and so we are on vacation, but we also wanted to stay on course with episodes. And
on course, don't you sound so nautical?
I didn't even mean to do that.
We do love boats, though, don't we, Laura Beth?
We love boats.
We got it honest from our dad. He loved boating, and it just feels very natural to me to be on a boat in the water.
Uh-huh. And, you know, the South is actually very well-versed in cruising. We've got a lot of ports.
We
flew into Orlando and left out of Port Canaveral, which is about an hour away from Orlando. Our dad was teasing us that he didn't.
How are you getting on a boat in Orlando?
He didn't understand how we were leaving on a cruise ship from Orlando. No,
there's a shuttle in between, Dad.
Port Canaveral does exist, and that is where we left from. But even just in the Florida area, you've got Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa. They all have ports.
Yep.
You've got ports in Mobile, Alabama, New Orleans. I've left out of New Orleans, actually, before. Charleston, and then Galveston, Texas.
Galveston, Texas as well, which on our beaches episode, I had read a little bit about the beaches of Galveston, and I asked a friend of mine from Texas, like, you know, what were the beaches like there? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, they do have beaches that you can, you know, lay out on and play in, you know, and that kind of thing. But she said, because of all the port coming and going, that the water's pretty mucky.
Yeah.
Because of all that coming and going, which I understand that.
Yeah.
So she was saying it's not as pretty as some of the other water.
Right.
Parts of the South.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. But I have a hilarious story to share from breakfast.
Oh, gosh. I can't wait.
So, okay. 1 hour ago, I went and ate breakfast. And our waiter was from Trinidad.
Okay.
Very nice guy. We did our breakfast, like, ordering from the menu.
Sure.
So, I ordered Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
And cheddar grits. Because I'm like, oh, they have cheddar grits?
That was on the menu?
That was on the menu.
Okay.
Cheddar grits. So I was pretty excited and ordered that. Well, what came, it didn't take me 2 seconds to look at that and go, ooh, maybe I should have gotten the hash browns, but that's okay.
Oh, no.
So basically it was instant grits or, you know, fast grits that they just shredded some cheddar cheese on. It did look freshly shredded. But I knew, okay, this is not what I had hoped for. So anyhow, I ate a little bit of it with my Eggs Benedict, but disappointingly, because it was not a good, hearty, coarse-ground grit or anything.
Yeah.
So that was already funny to me.
Okay.
There was four of us at this table. Two of us had gotten the grits.
Okay.
Okay. So, as the breakfast proceeded, it was funny because he came back to the table and said, do you mind if I ask you a question? I was like, sure. He said, this boat used to go out of the port of Miami.
Okay.
And we just about, I think he said a year ago, started leaving from Port Canaveral. And one of our observations in the dining room has been the huge increase of grits that we
get. Like requests for grits.
He said, we hardly ever had anybody get grits when we were leaving from Miami. He said, I feel like it's maybe 50% higher now that we're leaving from Port Canaveral. Do you have any explanation for that?
You're like, I have a podcast.
I didn't tell him that. But what was fascinating was I thought, now this is really interesting to me. I don't have a quick answer.
Right.
I do want to think on this.
Yeah.
But I have a couple of thoughts. But I said, Well, I want to start with, I'm really enjoying my breakfast, but these grits are not really good grits. So if you hear about grits in the South, this is not a good example. I did because he's from Trinidad. I don't know how much he knows
Maybe just like our grits episode, he's like, I don't like grits because that's exactly what he's tried.
So this is what I told him. I said, grits are really popular, particularly in the low country of the South, the Carolinas. And you may have a higher percentage of travelers who are willing to go to Port Canaveral.
Right.
Miami is like a whole nother world.
It is.
To some Southerners. The table was agreeing with me.
Yeah.
One of these ladies lived in Florida.
Yeah.
And I said, I think your whole population demographic could have changed.
Yes.
Just even though it's same state.
The grits were the indicator to let them onto it. But yes, I believe
that's true.
I said,
I think it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's telling you that some of your population demographic is more from an area that eats grits.
That's so interesting.
And so it was a great conversation, and he left there going, I'd really like to try some of those good grits.
Oh, I wish we had some.
And so I said, I wish I could make you some grits while we were on the ship. But anyway, so maybe I enticed him to try something new.
Wow.
And, you know, anyhow.
All right. Thanks to remember next time we travel.
First breakfast on the ship.
Carry grits.
First breakfast on the ship, I had a grits talk.
That is
so
awesome.
Isn't that fun?
We just carry it with us. We can't help but be Southern everywhere
we
go.
And I thought it was a hoot that he asked me at our table. Other people were eating grits.
That is true.
So it just felt fun.
You carry your Southern authority well. That's so great. Well, today we're talking about Southern porches and exteriors of Southern homes.
Yes.
We broke it down into those categories because you can't even begin to get into the interiors along with this.
Well, we were going to do Southern homes,
and
I said, oh my goodness,
it's
just
too big.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Let's just stick with porches and exteriors and we'll do interior at
another time. Yeah. So if you are really into Southern inside decor,
We'll get there.
Yeah. So, Southern porches, obviously, the front porch is the first place you really get to say welcome, I think.
That's so true.
I mean, that's a quote.
Sometimes in the heat, it's where you stay, too. You just sit there. You never even go in.
And I believe that that's a really big reason why Southern homes include such a large porch is because they had to sit outside.
That's right.
Because of the heat. And so,
add a ceiling fan once you had electricity.
Exactly.
You know, you see that a lot too.
And swings, you know, you want to keep
movement.
In motion.
That's right.
If there's not a breeze, create your own breeze.
That's right.
So I really, really, really wish I had a front porch. I do not. I've lived in a couple of homes in college that had great porches that I spent hours on. I would study on those porches. I would have late night conversations with friends on those porches. I mean, it's just a wonderful place to enjoy company.
So yeah, it really is.
Some of my favorite things to see on a Southern porch are any sort of rocking chair or swing.
Yes.
In fact, I think it's really amazing if it's such a large porch that there's actually two hanging swings that face each other.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can have.
Yeah. Conversation, looking at each other,
but
both swinging, or four people.
Yeah.
And then you've seen these beds people are doing now, too.
That's
like
true.
They're swings, but they look almost like a twin bed mattress.
Yeah. You could sleep out there.
Oh, my goodness, and I would.
Because we had a very well-loved-on couch on our porch in college that I feel like was serving that purpose. But, yeah, this is what we're talking about. It's a much more upscale or suburban sort
right,
of look.
Exactly.
But anything pineapple, you know, a pineapple rug, a pineapple sign, an actual pineapple, you know, incorporated.
We've talked about where that even came from as being hospitality.
Yeah.
People would put the pineapple out on the fence.
Yeah.
That they were back from their travels and had
their same
things to
welcome.
Share. Come on in and see what we've got.
Yeah. So anything, you know, table-wise that you could set your sweet tea on. That's always great to see on a front porch because, again, you know, you're You're sitting a while. That's sit a right. spell.
Sit a spell.
Sit a spell.
Exactly right.
Ceiling fans we mentioned. And then, yeah, just anything like pillow-wise that just looks like comfort.
Come sit.
Yeah.
And you see really deep porches on some homes.
Yes, you
and
do.
Wraparound porches, which are aren't those
so
glorious?
Wonderful. Yes.
Yeah, where you could leave from different rooms and be on the same porch. That's special. I've never had anything like
dreams,
that.
Dreams, goals.
Yeah.
So many goals.
Screened porches also. That you
That's
know, we have
really
a lot
wonderful.
Of mosquitoes and stuff from the humidity, so that gets you outside but not with all the critters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of home design, if a screen porch is incorporated, we'll put that on either the side or the back,
mm-hmm.
just because of the way the screen actually looks.
Yeah.
It kind of takes away from the
house.
Yeah,
that's true.
But it is so wonderful to have a screen porch.
Man.
That's also a goal.
I've had, never in a home, but I've rented apartments when I was younger that had screened porches, and boy, did I spend time out there.
Yeah.
It really is wonderful.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the paint colors
that are
prominent,
popular.
Even on porches.
Yeah.
There's
one really famous on a porch.
Would that be the Haint Blue?
Yeah, the Haint Blue.
So the Haint Blue is just, I would imagine, or I would classify it kind of in the sky blue category. And it really was meant to resemble the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The origin is from the Gullah people, which we mentioned the Gullah people in
Gullah
our
and Geechee both
dialects episode. And the tactic was intended to paint the ceiling of the porch blue that appeared as the sky to trick ghosts into passing through to basically keep them away.
That's what a haint is, a spirit.
Yes.
Like a bad spirit, I guess.
Yeah. We're talking about spirits that you would not want
to scare away.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that was their... And they don't just do the porch. Apparently, I had heard they do over the
doorways.
Frames.
Yeah.
And
the Gullah would not only paint the porch, but also doors, window frames, and shutters.
Okay. So, any entry. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, when Gullah culture mingled with Southern white culture, the custom became more widely practiced.
Okay.
So it really did originate from them, but it's, it's also, I've heard that it's also a color that deters spiders and wasps.
Okay, so this is what I originally had heard in my life, was that you paint it so it looks like the sky and it confuses carpenter bees and wasps and they won't nest because their vision is such that just seeing that makes them think that it's sky.
That is
which
wild.
Actually makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But then in doing research for this, and I found the whole haint spirit thing.
Yeah.
Some of the things I read said that's not true about the insects.
Okay.
I don't know what is right, but I do know that just the feeling of sky feels right when you're outside.
That's
so
true.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's a pretty color.
It's a pretty color. It makes you, it feels fresh and natural to be over you.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
To be sky.
Yeah.
But, carpenter bees are nasty critters.
Yes,
if they
are.
Dig in your deck or dig in your ceilings of your porch. So if that does keep them away even 10%, then it's worth it.
Yeah. If there's a color that does it, I would select that one. There's other colors, too, though, right? I mean, other kind of more pastel
Absolutely,
colors.
Absolutely, there are. So I have a little list here that I thought was pretty interesting. Another one that was popular is Charleston Green. Legend says that during Reconstruction, meaning after the Civil War, the government sent buckets of black paint, and the ever-stylish Charlestonians mixed in yellow and green to create a lovely color for shutters, trim work, and even wrought iron and rocking chairs. So they weren't going to have just some black. Like, we're going to have to do something to make this prettier than that. So let's at least add in a little to this free paint we've been given.
Yeah.
Or cheap paint.
Yeah.
I don't know how
so
that
Charleston
worked.
Charleston Green. Interesting.
Charleston Green is what was born there. Another southern color that I read about was Creole Pink. It's a soft pink used in coastal towns, yes, such as New Orleans and Savannah.
I know, like, I can picture it when you're saying it.
And coastal towns, no matter where you are in the world, do tend to be more colorful.
Yeah, you get away with their lots of paint, wild pastels
colors and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that is one I read about. Monticello Yellow. Monticello being Thomas Jefferson's home, and it's a deep, mm-hmm, warm yellow that, okay, apparently became popular from that,
yeah,
home. And then another one, I've never been to Key West, but our parents had been,
yeah,
and I saw some images from there. And Ernest Hemingway's home there,
yes,
has these shutters that are called, it's called Hemingway Green now.
Okay.
It looks like the inside of an avocado. That color,
oh,
is kind of,
wow,
like the inside of an avocado. So,
okay,
a fun shade.
Yes.
But it's now nicknamed Hemingway Green,
okay,
and is kind of popular in places in the South. So there's some paint colors.
Yeah, and if you've ever heard of Rainbow Row, which is on the Battery Lane area of Charleston.
It kind of has all of these.
It has all of these colors represented. So, yeah.
That's
but
awesome.
The porch is a staple to any Southern home. You know, you would be remiss not to mention it in an episode like this.
Absolutely. It's just such a part of culture, too.
Right.
Of just, like you said, the sweet tea, the screened porch door slamming.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
that's what I think of when I, yeah, think of the South.
Yeah.
And I just think, in general, some styles are grand, others modest in the South. You see many, many different things. But, definitely our hot, humid weather has played into many of the things we're going to talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
In,
yeah,
shaping the exteriors of homes.
Yeah. Anything else you'd say about the porch?
No, just...
Besides we just love it.
What, other than we love it? Just that I think in general, I mean, we've kind of already said it, but they're deeper and,
yeah,
bigger,
yeah,
than in other parts of the country where you,
yeah,
might be... you know, if you've always lived in a different part of the country, you might be surprised by how big and deep some porches are here.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
You or I don't have one, but...
I know. We both have decks off,
yeah,
of the back
which
of the
I'm
house.
Which I'm so grateful for.
But nothing towards the front.
Yeah.
Which would invite even more neighborly conversation.
Yeah.
Because we both have fenced yards,
yeah,
so...
Yeah. You have to be invited in that.
Whereas,
yeah, a porch is like... Come on up to
it
the...
It is. It makes it approachable and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another... Would you want me to...
Go. Yeah.
There's, you know, several things I could mention, but there's also an interior room. Well, maybe I should start. I'm going to go with this first.
Okay.
Elevated foundations.
Yes.
Is something
important
that you see a lot, particularly, again, coastal.
Yes.
Because it can protect against water damage.
Yep.
And it also... it just enhances curb appeal.
It does.
It,
yeah,
puts kind of the whole structure on an elevation.
It just makes it look
looks
a little
like
more
it's
grand.
On a pedestal,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So some, and that can look lots of different ways, elevated foundations. But I think of even sometimes it looks like they're up on stilts or
it
something.
It does.
You,
yeah,
know, there's certain,
yeah,
architecture styles that look like that. But that gives you a little leeway with if water is going to come,
yeah,
high.
Yeah. It's primarily for water protection.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they make it look pretty, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Large columns lining,
oh,
the front of the house.
Don't you think of that as
that's
so
definitely
Southern.
Something. Even...
kind of more antebellum South.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
yeah. Large columns and then even, like, doubled up. So they're mirroring each other in the columns,
yeah, yeah,
on each side or... You know, if there's a wraparound porch incorporating it all the way around, but columns are huge.
I saw an image that I will have to send you, Laura Beth. Maybe we can put it up at some point on our social media, of a particular home. I want to say this one was in Louisiana, but it had a long drive.
Okay.
And it was full of, like, the whole drive was huge trees. And I want to say it even had, maybe had some Spanish moss hanging.
Oh, wow.
But it was leading up to this grand home with a bunch of columns. And,
yeah,
I thought, Lord have mercy, this looks like a coffee table book of Southern,
yeah,
exteriors. You know,
you,
like,
you
what would
found
the
Terra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even better, though.
Yeah.
Also, in addition to porches, people would sometimes have sleeping porches.
Yes.
And that was a very practical room. You know, now we think of screened porches, but this is, think, similar to that, but an enclosed deck or balcony with screened windows, often on the side or back of a house, with, they much preferred for it to have three sides exposed.
Okay.
So for cross ventilation.
Yes.
Because with no air conditioning,
yeah,
they would just have often like cots or twin beds or, you know, something, yes, really simple where everybody would go sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like not just whoever the, you know, adventurous kid is.
Right.
Like we're all sleeping,
we're
out
all
here.
We're all out here because it's so hot.
Yeah.
That this is the only place you're going to get a good night's sleep. But air conditioning wasn't common in homes until after World War II.
Gosh, that's so hard to believe. I mean,
well, and in our,
it, yeah,
parents, I don't think either had air conditioning even late,
yeah,
long later after that. So, yeah, that's a very big reason we have many things that we, yeah, have in the South in architecture is just the heat.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to prevent.
Higher ceilings, same thing. The reason for those higher ceilings is warm air rises.
Yeah.
So if we can at least get it off of us, there's a cooler,
yeah,
section down here.
Yeah.
That will, and it also allowed for more natural light. Those,
yeah,
higher ceilings is higher windows, so we are getting some of the natural light and keeping, mm-hmm, the heat off of us.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just to look grand.
Right.
It was practical.
Oh, yeah. All positioning was to keep direct sunlight off of hitting yeah, you directly. Yeah. Wow. Well, have you ever heard of smokehouse being used and updated now for storage? Have you seen that people are kind of doing that now too?
I have seen that. But isn't it well, there's that one in our town that's just gotten renovated and is up for sale on Murfreesboro Road.
Yeah.
It has, I could see the smokehouse. I don't know what they've done with
it. I would love to see the inside of that.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd mention that because,
yeah,
smokehouses were definitely a part of larger plantation homes, especially.
And often that's, sometimes in those old plantations, the kitchen was kind of separate because if it caught on fire and burned down, you didn't want the whole house to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes it was always either in the back or separate.
Yeah.
To keep from the whole house.
Yeah.
Because that was a real scare too.
Yeah. Yeah. You had some just even like sort of coined terms that you were going to mention.
Architecture,
yeah,
style?
Yeah.
I do. I want to mention a couple other things. One I wanted to mention was transom windows is,
okay,
something else that's popular in the South. Inset with hand-blown restoration glass spans the family room doorway. The windows, which can be fixed or operable, serve the purpose of providing rooms with additional light and ventilation. So there again, a ventilation thing. Most prevalent over interior doorways, but are also seen in historical examples over exterior doorways. And then I have a good friend, Susan, who is studied architecture, interior design. And I asked her the question, maybe this sounds dumb, but I said, are plantation shutters a Southern thing? Just from that name.
Yeah.
Plantation.
Feels like they should be.
It seems like, and she was like, oh, that's a great point. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about with those, where you just pull the, and the,
yeah, you're pulling the cord, or not the cord,
it's a,
the
it's a wooden
stick
thing, and they're,
yeah,
wood, and,
yeah,
they, you know, open,
yeah,
up. You don't have just those vinyl,
yeah,
lines. They're like nice,
yes,
wide,
yes,
wood. And she said that again was for ventilation. That,
yeah,
was a real thing that, you know, they used not just to look nice,
right,
but to let ventilation
again,
in.
Because it gets so hot here.
Yeah. So, plantation shutters, or,
yes,
a Southern thing, at least first. But architecture styles, I don't pretend to be an architecture expert, but I wanted to at least mention,
oh,
to those,
sure,
who know a lot about that. There's classical architectural features in the South, symmetrical forms, graceful proportions, stately wide columns.
Yeah.
You see a lot of triangular gables. Designers of pre-Civil War homes included architectural details because of America's passion for neoclassical, Greek Revival, Federal, and Georgian style architecture. And to, now today, I was going to give just even like some of the
just a few
the name and a few things about it.
Yeah.
So neoclassical architecture, at a glance, some of the characteristics would be a commanding facade with symmetrical elements, usually 1 to 2.5 stories high, dramatic columns, mm-hmm. A centered entry, low-pitched triangular pediments, that kind of thing. Greek Revival.
So I think I like neoclassical.
Neoclassical.
Based on what you just said.
Yeah, all sounds pretty.
I'm open to hearing about Greek Revival, but I really enjoyed
really
what you just
that.
Said. Yes.
Well, and some of these you're going to think, too, where is this home sitting? If it's only inland, you're going to have something different than if there is that water.
Yes.
Really close by and
yes.
things like that. You're not going to build the same thing.
Just right.
Depends on where it's sitting. But Greek Revival at a glance, and I don't even know, I don't even know what all of these words mean. So I'm
yeah.
just giving some of these,
give us some grace, y'all.
Gable or hipped roofs.
I had read that. Hipped roof I wasn't familiar with,
yeah.
so I'd have to look that up to see what that looked like.
A portico or full width porch with Greek columns. I do love something
yes.
like that. So beautiful. Framed doorways, white painted wood, brick, or masonry construction. It could be anything rather than fine stone.
Yeah.
Another style is antebellum.
Yes.
Architecture, similar to neoclassic, but doesn't refer to a specific architecture style. Antebellum means before the war.
Okay.
So that's what would mean.
It yes. was,
you know, from that time period.
Right.
Some of their characteristics were symmetrical and boxy. Strong columns supporting large covered porches.
Yep.
Center entrances in the front and rear. Have you ever seen a home that sometimes
yes.
you're like, well, this is just as beautiful from this side as it is from that side?
Yes, I have.
Very.
Yeah.
That costs money to do, make
yes,
a house
does.
Look that good. Another one is low country architecture. You would know some of this.
Yes.
That raised foundation. Usually single level.
Okay.
Single room depth to encourage cross ventilation, high ceilings, large windows, and a wide wraparound porch.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty common
mm-hmm.
things for low country. I have pictures of lots of these, so if we ever wanted to, you know, show examples.
You said single room depth? Is that what you said? What did you say?
Single room depth to encourage cross ventilation.
So I had read that there's something called a Charleston single house.
Okay.
Which I've definitely seen.
Yes. And
maybe you were going to mention
that's
that
the
too.
Next one.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
One room wide footprint.
Yes.
For the Charleston single house.
Yes. So it is longer
deep.
Than it is wide.
Right.
And
that's because that street stuff's expensive.
It
that's
is.
Why.
That's exactly why. That's so they're 3 and 4 stories tall.
Right.
Too.
But you're only getting
they're only one
a small amount of the street
yes.
front.
Yeah.
You actually see that in other places now, too. But, yeah, that's
definitely
what
Charleston,
that comes
though.
From.
Yeah.
Those would often have verandas.
Yep.
Two outside doors are located on the same side as the verandas.
Yes.
Lots of coming and going that way.
Yeah.
And usually those are brick or wood.
Okay.
So... Okay, that's the Charleston single house. French colonial.
Okay.
Steeply pitched roofs. The main living area built on raised foundations.
Okay.
These can be brick, stucco, or wood. Spacious porches. You see a lot of that in Louisiana and Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
French Creole. Architecture at a glance. This is something you're going to see again a lot in Louisiana. Broad, spreading roof lines, often hipped. Timber frames with infill made of brick, or this is definitely a French word, boucelage, which is mud, moss, and animal hair.
Oh, okay.
I hope I'm saying that right. Elevated foundations again with living quarters placed above the ground level. for water reasons.
Uh-huh.
Wrought iron columns, balconies, and detailing.
Yes.
Which you've seen that, haven't you?
Yes.
That real
wrought iron, I was going to mention at some point. Yes.
Yeah, so you see a lot of that even in New Orleans.
Yes.
And Savannah.
Yeah.
Places that have a lot of French Creole.
Yeah.
Influence. Southern colonial style at a glance, elevated foundations, large columns lining the front of the house. That's another one that we see. We've seen quite a bit of that. Plantation style homes at a glance. Some of those are just so lovely and beachy and
yes.
graceful proportions, usually two stories high, deep veranda. I'm not smart enough to know the difference in a lot of these.
Right.
My friend Susan would, but that's just a few of the architecture styles.
What's funny is when you say plantation style home, I think more about the actual land than I do the architecture, just in my mind.
Like, sure.
It's a plantation home.
To me, has a long...
a lot of green around
yes,
it.
Yes,
maybe some magnolia trees, but
yes.
it's mostly about the property side.
It's true. Yeah, that's what
like,
I think
I couldn't
of
probably
too.
Have told you any characteristics of the actual home.
Yeah. I think of a long drive up to it, too.
Yeah.
And that might not even be accurate.
Yeah.
I think of, just a plantation being, there's a lot of working going on the land.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Yeah. You know. It's a function. It's not just for show's sake.
Right.
It's a working piece
yeah.
of property,
yeah.
too. Yeah. That's interesting. Oh, good overview.
Well.
Any of those stand out as your favorite? I think I liked the Southern Colonial a lot after you mentioned that as well.
Yeah. I mean...
You'll take one of each.
Oh my goodness, I know. I sound so demanding, but I love those columns, but I also love those coastal. Just give me the screen room that goes around half the house,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Totally more casual looking than the columned house,
yeah.
but I really like both those.
I feel like some of the Caribbean stops that we're going to be making on this cruise, we're going to see a lot of these paint colors
Absolutely.
As well, right?
That's right.
I just
pinks
think
and
of
yellows.
A lot
and,
of pinks
yeah.
down in the
pinks,
Bahamas.
Yellows and blues.
And, yeah. So I don't know if we got that idea originally from some of our southern neighbors or not, but. Well, that was fun. I felt
it
like
it was fun.
I felt
and being
like
on the water just felt right.
We should have had
Talking
a porch
about.
To sit on, but since we don't have porches, we went to a balcony in the Caribbean Ocean. So, well, thanks again, guys, for listening in and joining us on this episode of the podcast. We sure do like spending some time with you guys,
yes, even on vacation
each week. Yes, we sure do. I guess that shows how much we love talking about Southern things and. Obviously, it overflows in
into breakfast conversations.
Into conversations. All right. Well,
y'all have a great week.
Do, and we will see you here next time.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.